He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Because sometimes you got to confront. America needs a spanking as well. Can you imagine if the pulpits would get back to preaching repentance and hell hot and heaven sweet and calling people and reminding them of the judgment of God and calling them to repentance with tears in their eyes, not out of anger, but out of true brokenness for the condition that we are leaving our children and our grandchildren. America needs a spanking right about now. She needs to be confronted in her sin and called back to God.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is a special message recorded at Lancaster Stadium titled, Something Has to Break. Ephesians 6:12 through 13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Join us today for a message of strength and encouragement from Pastor Shane as he explains how we may resist the attacks of Satan today and fight the good fight of the faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
The title of tonight's message is actually the same as the song, Something Has to Break. And I don't know about you, but have you ever dealt with something in your life that you've said, Lord, you have to take this. I can't keep dealing with this. I can't keep falling in this area. I can't keep failing in this area. Whether it's a situation at home, with your family, with a health issue, spiritual issues, something has to break. And this message actually turned into two messages, and next week I'm going to finish this portion of Mark chapter 9, where Jesus says, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And I've been saturating my mind into that, looking at commentaries, reading that verse over and over and over again, and there's something there that sometimes you have to press against the demonic realm before there's freedom. Sometimes things don't happen instantly. Sometimes there's a fight, there's a battle, it takes perseverance, and that's why many of us are not giving up on our nation, and we're not giving up on the state of California. We are petitioning God, we are seeking Him, we are calling down heaven to change hell that's happening here. Arthur Wallace, you mind if I take this off? I like moving around a little bit. Arthur Wallace wrote an incredible book on fasting. I want to encourage you to read that. You can look it up on Amazon. But he said, often pressure has to be maintained in the spiritual realm before there is a breakthrough in heavenly warfare. What he's saying there, and it's so true, often pressure has to be maintained before there is a breakthrough. So what you're going through, the enemy wants you to give up and give in, become discouraged and defeated, but often it takes pressure, it takes perseverance. But isn't that so true? Sometimes you've got to press in. Sometimes you've got to keep fighting and not giving up. And the enemy, if he can just get us to quit and be defeated, he might not take your salvation, but he can take your energy, he can take your witness. And many of us cry that out, Lord, something has to break. God, take this from me. And throughout the Old Testament, we'll read things like, the war between David and Saul was long. And the Bible actually said the war between them was long, but David grew stronger and stronger. And when God promised them the promised land, were they able to take that land within a few days? Come on. A few weeks? Years. Years of fighting and persevering And I wish it wasn't the case. I wish I had different types of news for you tonight. Sometimes God does do things instantaneously. I've prayed for people. They've been delivered of crystal meth and alcohol and you name it. But sometimes for other people, there's a battle. There's a battle that wages, and we have to keep pressing against the spiritual realm through prayer and fasting and seeking God in heaven, and there's warfare. Even when Daniel prayed, the angel said, I heard you when you prayed, but for 21 days, I was engaged in spiritual warfare. And so there's a perseverance that goes along with our Christian faith. And there comes a time where either the problem will be broken or the problem will break you. What I mean by that is sometimes God uses our situations to get us to the foot of the cross. Sometimes he uses that pain and discouragement to get us back to him. I know in my own life, I would have never fully surrendered my life until he began to take away things from my life and begin to break me down and humble me. And so as we're going through things, if you can stay pointed to the Savior, focused on the cross, there is victory at the end. And that's why discouragement is so dangerous in the Christian faith. So what I want to read tonight is from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, if you have your Bible, you can refer to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Real Bibles, not phone Bibles. What happens on phone Bibles? We get text messages and emails and we get distracted. At least I do. A confession here. Mark 9, this is a very interesting scenario. This boy is having seizures. And he's throwing himself into the fire and throwing himself into the water. And it's actually, Matthew records it as epileptic seizures. And it is actually demonically inspired. He has a demon. He is demonized. And I've been talking about that the last few weeks. If you want to get the context of demonology, listen to the last few weeks' messages. They will set this in context. So Mark 9, 14 says, Jesus saw that the scribes were arguing with the disciples. So you have this picture of the disciples of Jesus arguing with the religious leaders. And this is very common throughout the life of Jesus. And Jesus asked the scribes, and they were, as their name would suggest, they would write things down, the Torah, the law, but they're also teachers of the law. These were the religious leaders of the land. So Jesus said, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes at his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and asked them to cast it out, but they could not." Boy, was this guy saying something needs to break or what? He had this young, can you imagine your child? Epileptic seizures and throwing himself into the fire and into the water and always having to watch his child. And the father is in desperation. "I brought him to you, but your disciples could not cast him out." And I started to wonder if that discussion where the scribes were arguing with the disciples, what were they arguing about? Were they mocking them? "Where's this Jesus now that you talk about? Where's this Jesus now? You can't cast this demon out. Where is your God? Has anybody ever challenged you with that? Where is your God now? Where is Jesus now?" And they were standing there utterly defeated and in failure because they could not cast out the demon. And this father's desperation and frustration led to him seeking God like never before. And let me tell you something. This will be for some of you. I'm sure God may ruin your schedule to repair your heart. God might ruin your schedule to repair your heart. He might allow difficult situations and things where you say, "Lord, this has to break." But God is using that to repair your heart. But there is something interesting here. I don't want to overlook this. This is the key. We cannot forget about the demonic realm. Now, we have to be careful because there's not a demon behind every bush. There's not a demon underneath every rock. But how many of us, I've been guilty myself, just call a doctor or get medication. We forget that the demonic realm is real. And we see here that it affected this man, this boy's mental capacities, his mental illness. Basically, an epileptic seizure, if that's what it was, there is electrical shocks that happen and the body can't register correctly and it begins to convulse. Now, I'm not saying if somebody has that, it's because of edema. Please don't understand. But we cannot rule these things out. If we do, what do we do with the Bible? It talks about that these things can manifest themselves. Demonic manifestations can manifest themselves mentally. And because of pride, sometimes we allow pride to get in the way. I don't want to admit that I might have a demon harassing me. Or a family. We have to be careful in the church. Like, if we want to pray for your son or daughter, and we start to talk about demonic influence, parents get a little defensive. They get defensive. Oh, no, that can't be a demon. Now, most of you know I'm pretty conservative, so I don't run to the demon camp and start casting out demons. But the more I'm reading the New Testament, the more it's pretty clear it was throughout Jesus' ministry. So what do we do with that? Just kind of discard it because we don't like it, because it's uncomfortable? We also know that demons can hurt your body. What about the woman bent over? Jesus said, should not this daughter of Abram, who has been bound by Satan, should not be free? Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmities. And he prayed, and the woman was able to stand up straight. What about the torment? The demons tormented the man in the tombs, the men in the tombs, that Jesus came on the other side of the lake there, and he got out of the boat, and these people were filled with a legion of demons. And the Bible talks throughout the whole of the Gospels on the demonic realm. So I just want to be careful that we don't rule that out. Now, there's not a checklist. You can't go, well, let's do these top 10 checklists to see if I have a demon or see if my son does. But I believe you can use discernment. I believe you can use wisdom and seek the heart of God. That's why prayer and fasting is so important, and that's why discernment is so important. The Bible talks about the discerning of spirits, what is really going on. And then verse 19 and 20, he answered him and said, now remember, let's put this in context. The man said, your disciples could not cast out this demon. So Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? That's not very nice. Jesus is not being very nice. How long will I bear with you, he said. And I don't think he's being very quiet there. He's probably being vocal. Oh, you faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? In other words, you've seen my ministry. You've seen me do many things here. I'm irritated. Jesus was irritated. Bring him to me, he said. Bring the boy to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when this boy saw Jesus, he immediately convulsed and fell on the ground, and he wallowed around. He was foaming at the mouth. They thought he had actually died. And it's interesting, you'll see this with demonic types of oppression. When there is deliverance, how that demonic manifests itself is very interesting. Those coming out of addiction will sometimes vomit and sometimes expel this, and others who he's repeating what he's already done in the boy. It's like a last ditch effort to keep fighting and wanting to stay in that boy. But when you come into contact with Jesus, even the demons tremble. They cannot negotiate with Jesus. They have to obey the Son of God. When he says depart, they must depart. When he says remove yourself from that boy, they must listen. This is a Savior that we follow. And it's interesting here, nearness to Christ affects the darkness. Have you ever noticed that? The closer you draw to Jesus Christ, the more you will affect the darkness. The more the darkness will not like you. And as things get darker in our nation, this is going to become more apparent. The more you shine, the more that you have the light of the gospel, the more the darkness will begin to hate what you're doing. The darkness hates the light because the light bears witness of the evil of the darkness. But I should probably pause here and tell you, when Jesus rebuked the disciples, there is a time for a loving rebuke from time to time. And that is one of the reasons I believe that America has drifted so far, is because we no longer rebuke, we only want to encourage. I want everyone in the stadium to leave loving the message. Oh, Shane, that was so wonderful. It didn't convict me. It didn't hurt. It tickled my ears. But that's not Bible-believing, heart-wrenching preaching. Sometimes you got to convict. Sometimes you got upset. Sometimes you got to stir the pot like Jesus did. He would rebuke entire cities. Did you know that? He wasn't just this nice, mild, meek Jesus walking around, turning the other cheek. Actually, he didn't turn the other cheek when he got slapped. He confronted the man. He said, I would call down a legions of armies to fight for me. And he told these same religious leaders, you are hypocrites. You tithe, but you forget about mercy and justice and grace and righteousness. Oh, you clean the outside of the cups, but inside your cups, you are greedy. You are deceitful. You are hypocrites. You religious leaders, you are like whitewashed tombs on the outside, but inside, you are dead men's bones. And you say, oh, if we would have lived back when our forefathers lived, we would have never killed the prophets. And he said, you testify that you're sons of murderers. See, he's calling them out. He's calling that hypocrisy. He's not stroking their egos. He's calling them to conviction, and he's calling them to repentance. He said, you brood of vipers, fill up the cup of God's righteous indignation. How will you escape the condemnation of hell? That's Jesus. That's not Shane Eidelman. Because sometimes you got to confront. America needs a spanking as well. Can you imagine if the pulpits would get back to preaching repentance and hell hot and heaven sweet and calling people and reminding them that the judgment of God and calling them to repentance with tears in their eyes, not out of anger, not out of frustration, but out of true brokenness for the condition that we are leaving our children and our grandchildren. America needs a spanking right about now. She needs to be confronted in her sin and called back to God. It's okay to lovingly confront. Pastors are not just cheerleaders. We are game changers. The pulpit sets the tone for the nation. And then verse 21 to 24. Jesus asked this boy's father, how long has this been happening to him? How long has this been happening to him? And I can feel the pain of a father, can't you? From childhood. From childhood, this boy has been possessed. Actually, the New Testament doesn't use that word. It's more demonized. The King James translates that word possessed, but it's really demonized, demonio, or something along those lines. In the Greek, it means to have a demon. He says, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And he throws himself into the fire, into the water. The devil wants to destroy him. The demon is set out to destroy him. And that is what the demonic realm wants to do. Listen, let me speak openly and honestly to you. Do not play with the devil. Do not play with things that God forbids. Let's get ready to go again. Do not play with sin. Do not compromise. None of us are perfect, not even me, but you have to note how far you've drifted, and note that compromise, repent, and turn back to God. Because anytime you open that door to the enemy, he keeps pushing the door open. That's where that saying comes from. Give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And boy, isn't that true. Sin takes you farther than you want to go. It costs you more than you want to pay, and it keeps you longer than you want to stay. But it was really interesting that maybe because Promise Keepers was just in Texas. I don't know how many of you are following that. I was supposed to be there, but I wanted to be here. But it reminded me the desperate need for men, again, to lead. And it's throughout the New Testament, you'll often see the Father would bring, the Father leading the way. The Father leading the way in spiritual matters. The Father leading the way in prayer. The Father leading the way in calling down heaven. The Father leading the way in guarding his family spiritually. And this man, in utter desperation, brought this boy to Jesus. And he said, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, oh Jesus, please have compassion on us. Please help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, here's where Christianity has gotten in trouble over the years. The name it and claim it. I want that house on Courtsill Mountain, and I want the BMW. I'm naming it, and I'm claiming it. Look, it says right here. Know if you ask anything according to my will, your prayers aren't answered because you want to spend them on your money on foolish things. The Bible talks about having our hearts not set in the right direction. But it is a truth throughout Scripture. If you believe, and I believe as we seek God, He begins to give us the desires of our heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And so once you have this thought of something that God wants you to do or wants you to have, once you begin to believe in that and press in, believing according to God's will, God can do anything according to that. There are boundaries around that request. And Jesus said, if you believe, if you have faith, if you trust that God can do whatever He can heal, He can set free, He can renew, He can restore your marriage, He can bring your prodigal son home. I don't care what they're hooked on, how far they're gone. I don't care if they've just cussed out God and left. God is greater than that situation. Oh, if we could just get belief back in the churches again and put God on the rightful place and say, Lord, everything is possible with you. I'm not just saying it to saying it. I know because God has brought this prodigal son home. Yeah, I've seen amazing answers to prayer when there's a darkest of the night, God shine the brightest. Oh, if you just believe, He will set you free. And then many of you know the Father's response, I think. It's a very famous scripture. The Father didn't whisper, He cried out. And I've said this many times. I've cried out in tears. Oh, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. See, that's being honest with God. There's no one that can have perfect 100% belief, I believe, with our sin nature still attached on this side of heaven. There's that doubt that always comes in. Even when we are planting the church, people say, were you 100% certain? No. I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. And he cried out, Lord, I know you can heal my son, but there's been so much failure, so much shame, so much regret. I know you can, but Lord, help my unbelief because I want to trust in you, but something is rising up within me, doubt and fear, saying, no, this can't happen. It's been this way too long. And that's very healthy prayer to say, Lord, help my unbelief. He's basically saying, Lord, something has to break. He cried out because this is where anger, failure, and frustration meet. Have you ever been there? Anger, failure, frustration. Nothing seems to be going right. Everything seems to be falling apart. I begin to trust in God and all hell breaks loose. Everything is coming at me. A failure and anger. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I believe your word. I believe you said, if I ask, I shall receive. I believe your word that says, if you seek me, you will find me. God, I'm seeking. I'm drawing to you. But Lord, I'm feeling empty. There's something going on within me that's drawing me away from you. Go, God, help my unbelief.
He's calling. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Regaining Lost Ground, recorded at Lancaster Municipal Stadium in Southern California. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.